The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Please be seated. We know that we are having a hard time when our field of vision narrows. If we are in danger, we are likely to focus all of our energy on survival. So anything else simply disappears from our attention while we get ourselves out of the scrape that we're in. If we're in a time of sadness or loss, or struggling to make ends meet, our ability to perceive pathways out of that place can become very narrow indeed, as the pain of that situation gets wrapped up in all the emotions that come with hard times. If in our community lives, we feel stuck in cycles of cynicism and inequity, and our leaders seem unable to cast a vision that can move us out of it, we can begin to feel like there is no way forward. Paul tells us that hope does not disappoint, but hopelessness can keep us trapped in a cycle of disappointment. This picture of scarcity defines far too much of our lives. Now, we probably evolved for this. No doubt, way back thousands of years ago when we lived in the wild and our vehicular options were limited, a predator bearing down on us meant that every function but survival became extraneous. We had to let it go. And we evolved to focus on that one path that we think is going to work in the moment and work best, which unfortunately became a little warped as anxieties and fears get us stuck in a doom loop of scarcity and hopelessness. The danger may have passed, but the anxiety stays behind. Well, Jesus reframes this to find abundance embedded in the gap between what we need in this world and what we think we have. Whereas we have evolved to see scarcity and a limiting of options, Jesus sees us in that moment and sees the abundance that is waiting to come out. And in finding this latent, hidden abundance, Jesus gives us a mission. He reframes despair by calling us to action. Go and proclaim the good news. Scarcity is the wrong read, he says. Jesus looks out and he sees the crowd hungry for a word of God, who in the words of Matthew are harassed and helpless. That's the crowd gathering. Jesus instead sees them for who they are and who God created them to be. He sees nascent growth beneath the surface, yearning to bloom and to bear the fruit that God intends for the world. It is not a scarcity issue, and it never was. It's a question, rather, of vision and vocation, of our ability to see God's intention for the world unfolding and to respond. And to respond with our whole hearts, with our whole bodies, with our whole selves. Go, Jesus says, proclaim the good news, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, this has been Jesus' message. He has been moving about the cities and the villages, curing diseases, teaching in the synagogues, and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And he realized as he went from place to place, from town to town, from synagogue to synagogue, and he met these crowds, he realized that there was such need that even he was not going to be able to reach and touch and connect with every single person in the flesh. He saw this growing, this expanding need. He met crowds along the way, and he saw that they were harassed and helpless. That's the word in the gospel. The original Greek might translate as something a little closer to oppressed and thrown to the ground. So, whether that meant that the people he met were oppressed by the Roman Empire, or that they lived such a meager existence that they barely had any hope left, or that human life is just really hard sometimes, Jesus saw the crowds and he felt compassion for them. Jesus had deep compassion for them. It doesn't say that he had pity for the crowds. Pity and compassion are very different things. Now, I would argue that even though Jesus is the Savior, I don't think Jesus looked out at the crowds and said, "My goodness, these people are in need of saving." I think he looked at them and he saw fruitfulness ready to come to the surface. In an almost infinite well of need, Jesus saw fertile ground for the good news. But the need was so great that he couldn't do it alone. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and he made them apostles, giving them authority to heal the sick and proclaim the good news. This was not simply an organizational expansion. It was a complete reframing of a time of need and perhaps even despair, but one that did not even for a minute diminish their pain. Jesus looked at them and he saw in this deep well of need an abundance that was waiting to be activated by compassion and love. He saw that the harvest was plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. Now, I realize that if we were to describe the times that we are living in, whether as a nation or as an institutional church, plentiful is not the first word that comes to mind. I suspect the first word that comes to mind is more like one of those four-letter words that we're not going to talk about in church. What words do surface when we think about what's going on in our world? Well, if you tune into the news or follow the algorithms on social, you'll come up with divided, polarized, unequal, materialistic, ego-based, exploitative, anxious, unloving, unkind, all of which are true and none of which have very much to do with abundance. How about community and church life, since Jesus was talking about the mission field all along? Well, there, changes in our wider church can weigh heavily. With each generation, that sense of church and faith being at the center of our lives seems to drift farther away as folk increasingly shelter into their private worlds rather than enter into communities of fidelity and mutual love. Being here today, you are expressing the desire of your heart for something deeper, but that is something that too far has fallen too far away from the lives of many of our neighbors. And what we may have thought of as plentiful back in the day, and I know each and every one of us has a day that comes to mind, can feel a little light sometimes if we're honest. Now, I'm coming off a handful of church conferences over the last month or two, the Episcopal Parish Network, the North American Deans Conference, and our Diocesan Clergy Conference. You're probably wondering, does he ever actually come to work? This is work, too, but yeah, okay, fair question. And coming off of these, my head is so full of statistics and charts that tell us a lot about where the church is today. And it tells us things like well-resourced places in certain parts of the country are doing great. They're in a golden age, sort of, and that others are holding well and adapting well to remarkable change. I think at Trinity we do that so well. But we also see that many other places are flat out hurting, because cultural and demographic changes in this country are real. In many vestry meetings across the country, there's another grouping of 12, plentiful is not the first word that tends to come to mind. Well, if Jesus were at those vestry meetings, and I do believe Jesus is, I believe that somehow, in Jesus' own way, Jesus would have absolute and complete compassion and love for the people who are feeling harassed and helpless and having a hard time. But at the same time, he wouldn't entirely recognize the problem. He wouldn't quite know what they were talking about, because charts and graphs tell a story that is real but does not speak of the hunger for a living God, or of those who are weighed down by the burdens of inequity or the dull heaviness of loneliness. Those whose fields of vision have become tragically narrowed by hunger or poverty or pain. The harvest, it turns out, is plentiful. The need is great. And Jesus is calling us, and I'll use a summertime metaphor here. Jesus is calling us up for the minors and telling us to get into the game. The kingdom of heaven has come near. And it turns out that it is closer than we think, far closer than any of us realize. And the nearness of heaven itself is the word of hope. The presence of the kingdom of God is all around us, and that presence is the antidote to alienation and ego and to the individuality that we deploy to mask our feelings of disconnection and fear. And this is good news, and the people need it. This is good news, and we need it. Trust me, the well of need is deep, but so too is the harvest. So go and proclaim a word of liberation and hope. Scarcity and fear can weigh on us heavily. We all know this. It can narrow our field of vision and diminish our capacity to perceive what is real, to see that the kingdom of God is all around us and that the Holy Spirit is at all times moving through this world. And if we're looking out at those fields, and all we think that we are looking at are parched soils, Jesus tells us, beloved, look a little more closely. Consider not what you see, but what is beneath the surface, just beneath the surface, yearning for sunlight and rain, moving ever upward towards the fruitfulness that God envisions for each and every one of us. So go and proclaim the good news of God's love. The need is overflowing, but so too is the harvest. Amen.